Hello once again. It's so good to talk to you from Christmas Valley. My name is Cyril Stevens. I'm greeting you from that wonderful little valley of ours. And I want to share with you some more of the nuggets of truth that we gather from Romans. We've been going through Romans and I've deviated considerably. And I want to continue that deviation just for a little longer. And I want to go and address Luke 9. We'll start in verse 12. Now, Jesus has been showing the disciples what the gospel is. And he has shown them that the gospel is the release of evil spirits from a man who was an absolute lunatic. The release of the spiritual warfare that had gone on in a woman, and her morality was not high. She was forgiven. Her sins were cleansed. We've seen all of those things by looking at Luke 8. Now we come into Luke 9, and Jesus has sent out the 12 disciples to do what he has been doing, to speak and preach and tell the story that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and he has terrific power. Well, then Jesus gathers them. They come back from their preaching trip, and Jesus gathers them together. The people come to listen to Jesus. Let's just read from the 12th verse of Luke 9, and you'll discover, "Now the day was ending, and the 12 came and said to him, 'Send the crowd away that they may go into the surrounding villages and countryside and find lodging and get something to eat.'" Jesus has a different answer. He simply says, "You feed them." And in verse 13, we read, "You give them something to eat." And they said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless perhaps we go and buy food for all these people." For there were about 5,000 men. Now let's pause there, because it's very likely that there were 20,000 people in this gathering. And that's an awful lot of people to have to feed. Just this small morsel of 5 loaves and 2 fish aren't going to go very far with that crowd. Jesus says, "Have them sit down to eat in groups of about 50 each." They did so. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them and kept giving them to the disciples to set before the people. They all ate and were all satisfied, and the broken pieces which they had left over were picked up, and they filled 12 baskets full. Very important to see this, because the Lord Jesus always gives more than we actually need. These people had 12 baskets full, one for each disciple to share with whoever came along, I suppose. And it happened that while he was praying alone, the disciples were with him. He questioned them, and he said, "Who do the people say that I am?" And they answered, "Some say you're John the Baptist, others say you're Elijah, but others that one of the prophets of old has risen again." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered and said, "The Christ of God." And Jesus warned them and instructed them that they tell this to no man, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised up the third day." And he was saying to them all, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words and the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I say to you truthfully, there are some of those standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. Now, this is a tremendous statement that Jesus is making, and he is now teaching them that he must suffer and die, and the only way to become a person that is useful to God is the person who is prepared to lose his life for the sake of the Lord Jesus. He says very plainly here that we must be prepared to lay down our lives and take up our cross daily. That is the experience of the day, is the experience of this day, not living in the past, not living in the future, but just living today. What's your experience today? It may be nursing a dear mother or father that are about to leave this earth and go into eternity. It may be that you're looking after children and you're just in a whirlwind of coming and going, because that's what children do these days. There's no sort of regimen that holds them to a fixed method of living, and the discipline has sort of gone and slipped away. How do you manage all this? Jesus said every day is sufficient with its own evil. You don't have to borrow from yesterday, and you don't have to look forward into the future and say, the devil made me do it. What you need to be able to do is live today. And you live under the auspices of the cross of Calvary. And you go to the cross of Calvary with all your burdens and all your troubles, and you lay them at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Now, this may take a lot of time out of your day, but that's what you do. And it may cost you a great deal of secret tears. The more secret they are, the more precious they become. And the psalmist says, God sees your tears, and he keeps them in a bottle. It's as if there's a great warehouse full of bottles of tears. I doubt if that's exact, but that's what the psalmist said. God knows all the tears that drip down or cross your face because of the experiences of life. Are you hungry? Well, it's better to hunger and thirst after righteousness and be filled by the Lord Jesus, because nothing else can fill that void. Nothing. There is no known thing that can fill the void of a person who has nothing in their heart. So this experience brings the disciples to a terrific place. Now Jesus really pours it on, and I use that expression very carefully. He takes them to a place where there is transfiguration. Verse 28 says, some 8 days after these sayings, he took along Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face became different, and his clothing became white and gleaming. And behold, two men were talking with him, and they were Moses and Elijah, who, appearing in glory, was speaking of his departure when he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions had been overcome with sleep, but when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. He's now bringing them into a place where they shall see things and understand that not only is he the Son of Man, but he is also the Son of God. they are absolutely flummoxed when they see this brilliant shining, the shining on the face of Jesus. Now, there are times when the preacher in your church, if he is with the Word of God, and if he is constantly bringing the Word of God to you, there's a very wonderful opportunity for you to realize that there are times when he shines, and it's as if he's been transfigured. He's just a different person. Now, this may offend some of you, and yet it may bless the rest of you. There are blessings to be received, and there are blessings to understand, and there are blessings that you can take into your heart. But it is Jesus who is there, and it is Jesus who is shining through the personality or person that is preaching. I know this sounds old-fashioned, and I know that people don't believe this sort of thing today in the church. But I also know that when it happens, if you're watching, it's a very humbling experience. The face of a man may be shiny. And this particular Sunday, there is a shining going on his face. And it's beautiful because it shows us that the presence of God is not only with the man, but with the congregation sitting in the pews. And God is visiting in a most immaculate manner the beauty of his own holiness. He is showing us that he is still here and he still remembers us. And when he says, come unto me and I will give you rest, he means it because he said it. And he said it because he wants you to be absolutely calm in your heart and mind. We all need to see what God has in store. And there are times when he shows himself very plainly to us and vividly at that. I remember listening to Martin Lloyd-Jones one time. At the end, I came out. There was a hush amongst the people that were assembled there in Westminster Chapel in London. There was an awe. And I thought, this is the strangest thing I've ever seen or heard or felt or whatever. And as I came out, I heard a man saying something like this, wasn't he beautiful today? Well, I had seen it, and I had heard it, and I had seen something beautiful, and I didn't know what it was, until this man spoke and said it was beautiful, that he was beautiful, that I realized that there was a sort of, but not quite, transfiguration that took place in the heart and mind and personality of the man. And I can still see him standing with his Geneva gown on, flowing from his arms and down to his sides. I can still see him with his hands uplifted and his head bent backwards, looking up as it were into heaven, and there was something shining through the man. It was remarkable, and yet it was beautiful, and yet it was terribly awesome. Now, you've got to understand that that is overdone in the sense that James and Peter and John saw Jesus transfigured. My goodness, what I've just mentioned to you just is a shadow of what they saw, yet they saw it. It was beautiful as it went by. It was remarkable as they faced it and saw that the presence of the holy God was in this holy man, and yet not so holy as not to be a man. Jesus brings them into this experience where they look up and they see him shining, talking with Moses and Elijah, and I'm not sure how they identified those two men, but they knew that they were talking to Moses and talking to Elijah, and they knew that these three, Jesus being in the middle of the two, they knew that he was discussing something that was really quite remarkable, and it was his going into heaven and his resurrection after that he had been killed and so dreadfully wounded and so terribly suffering. And Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus was showing them the picture before it happened. He was showing them what was to happen, and he was revealing to them something that was so spiritual that they didn't know what to do with it or say. And when they repeated it, it was with awe that they repeated. They spoke very carefully of what they had seen. Now, as you go through this piece of scripture, you will hear and read from verse 36, where it is, when the voice had spoken, and this voice, verse 34, came out of the cloud while he was saying these things, a cloud formed and began to overshadow them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. Then a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. And verse 36, and when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent and reported to no one in those days any of the things that they had seen. And then we read that the next day when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him, and a man from the crowd shouted, saying, teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only boy. And a spirit seizes him, and he suddenly screams. It throws him into a convulsion with foaming at the mouth, and only with difficulty does it leave him, mauling him as it leaves. And I begged your disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answers in verse 41 and said, you unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you and put up with you? Bring your son here. While he was still approaching, the demon slammed him to the ground and threw him into a convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the boy and gave him back to his father. They were all amazed at the greatness of God. But while everyone was marveling at all that he was doing, he said to his disciples, let these words sink into your ears. For the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. And they did not understand this. It was concealed from them, so that they would not perceive it. And they were afraid to ask him about this statement. It's very interesting to discover how Jesus spoke to his disciples, showing them in miracles and signs and in wonderful things, the releasing of the spirits, the telling evil spirits to go away and to be cast out of people. We don't understand this today for some reason. We've sort of leapfrogged over all of this part of Scripture, and we've got a second opinion, as it were. We go to the doctor, we go to the hospital, and so on. And yet Jesus is still standing there with the same power, and he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, which means he's still with us, and he looks after us, and using, I believe, the modern science and the modern abilities to fix our bodies, we are healed, but it's by his stripes we are healed. And by the suffering of Calvary's cross, there is healing in the wings of the dove of peace, in the beauty of his holiness. There is this tremendous power of God. God is speaking to us. We need to be listening. Now, notice how this piece of scripture all sort of looked. First off, we find Jesus feeding 5,000, which was an absolute miracle. I mean, he only had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Yet as he broke the bread and he broke the fish into pieces, why, each basket was filled up, and they took the baskets out gave it to the people, and then collected all of this food back that they hadn't eaten because they were fully loaded with food. The Lord Jesus is an abundant giver, very different to the persecuted sort of agonizing religion that some have. God is not there with a great big stick to whack us every time we turn to the left when he said turn to the right. He isn't a God of fierceness, but a God of love. God is love. If you want to discover this, you have to put your trust in the Son of God and see God the Father through the Son, and you will discover the softness and the beauty of the presence of God. He is a remarkable Father, and he doesn't accuse us wrongly. He is a remarkable Father. We believe in God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. We believe these three are one, and we see the work of each one of the Godhead day by day. Sometimes it's my privilege to go down to speak in Paisley, which is a few miles from where I live. And I go down there to this little church where people gather. They love the Lord, and yet there's something missing somewhere. And I have had the honor for 4 years now of sharing the gospel with those people, sharing the experiences of Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, sharing those experiences with these people. And it's been a blessing to my heart, and I believe to theirs, because we've shared the Lord Jesus. And so often he has loved us with a passion, and we have been blessed. One of the nice things that I discover is that when I leave that church and I go back again, the next time I go back, many people have said something to me that related to the last time I was there. They've learned something. They've taken it into their hearts. And how blessed and glorious that is. Well, now, it's for us to do the same with each other. Listen to the Lord's Prayer in closing here. Jesus said, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And what he's saying there in the Lord's Prayer is, in the same manner that we forgive other people, please forgive us. Do you have a grudge that you're hanging on to and bearing? You're still in that place where you begrudged people the freedom because you have something against them. Jesus talks to us and says, you need to go to that brother or sister and you need to let them know that forgiveness is given. Recently, a friend of mine died. Now, he'd been a friend for many years, like 50 years almost. And I was a little bit ashamed and a little bit shocked. All sorts of things had happened during those years. And for some years now, we had not corresponded with one another at all. He was offended by something that I had said or did, and I didn't know what it was, and so I couldn't gain his forgiveness. And I came to a place where I had to get this thing sorted out with God. So before the Lord, I forgave him for things that he had said and done that had hurt me greatly. And then he died. When he was dead, I was relieved, for God had taken him home, and now he would know the truth of what he had said and done. And he would know and understand that we were free and are free. Forgive those that have trespassed against us. Now, this is what Jesus is teaching all the way through the Word of God. Every gospel is teaching us the same thing. Now, my time has gone. We must pray. Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us, guide us and bless us, and keep us in your peace, that as we anticipate soon Jesus will come. We ask that your blessings may be with us now. We say these things for your name's sake. Amen. Now I will add this, that if you think I sound funny, it's because I've got a terrible cold and I feel pretty rough, not very well today. So please forgive me. But soon I shall be well again. And soon I shall be back to my old stomping ground, as it were. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye. God bless you.